What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Despite being an underdog, Tom Brady won his seventh Super Bowl in his first season with the Buccaneers. Tampa controlled most of the game and never gave up the lead after going up 7-3. Brady finished with three touchdowns and just over 200 passing yards in the win. Patrick Mahomes really couldn't get the Chiefs' offense moving and threw two picks without finding the end zone once. Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick is with us now. Mike, what a game yesterday. In your opinion, what is the biggest reason the Bucs won this one?
Jenny, it was an amazing game, and I enjoyed every minute of it on both sides for everything that transpired. But I think the biggest reason that this game was won, and I know we talked about Todd Bowles all morning. I know everybody's talking about Todd Bowles and the defense, but, you know, you got to give some credit to Byron Leftwich, too. And you know, also Tom Brady. But I'll say this, you know, when they started to run the football, they came out in the first drive and they went three and out. And I think they may have run it once and they passed it twice. I don't know the sequence of plays, but I was saying to myself, this is the wrong formula. If they don't sustain a running game or get a run game going, then they're going to give the ball to Patrick Mahomes and this could turn into a high-scoring shootout game. Second possession, they run Ronald Jones. I think it started with Ronald Jones and then Fournette. He finished it off, but the run game became existent. All of a sudden, the play action became evident. You know, it was there. It was, you know, something that they relied on continuously throughout the first half. And then they found the comfort zone, and that comfort zone was created by the play calling. And I think Brady benefited from it. I think the entire offense benefited from it. And then everything was just smooth sailing from there. Kept Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. It kept them off balance. They couldn't get into a rhythm, and especially the way they was wounded and didn't have the guys, you know, up front needed to win this game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did everything in their power to keep Patrick Mahomes at bay, and they did it right. So as much credit as we give Todd Bowles, and rightfully so, got to give a lot of credit to Byron Leftwich and the job that he did calling the plays for Tom Brady.
Well, you know, give Byron his credit, but none of this is possible without that defense doing what it did. They made Patrick Mahomes look like a very average quarterback. And over the 3 years since he's been starting, we know Pat Mahomes is anything but average. He looked pedestrian. He looked mundane. He looked confused. He did not look like the best quarterback in football last night. That was, and think about this, Mike. They lined up in cover two and says, you can't beat us. And you know this as a quarterback. You don't throw teams out of cover two. You run them out of cover two. You got to force them to drop that safety down, because if they don't have to drop that safety down, they can get home with four. That means they got seven in coverage. Now, you got seven in coverage, and they're forcing Mahomes to scramble around. It's not like he's running back there and they've got to find it holes. He's running 10, 15, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage, throwing the ball off balance. He made two spectacular throws. I don't believe any other quarterback that could have made those throws. And he hit the guys right in the face mask with the ball. In situations like that, you got to find somebody to make a play for you. But Todd Bowles doing this says, you know what, guys? I believe we can play cover two. I believe JPP, Shaq, Sue, those guys, Vita Vea, I believe they can get home. And we can get home without having to sacrifice the back end. You go back and look at history. Skip, I forgot about the Seattle Seahawks and what they did to Peyton Manning in that Super Bowl. That was another demolition.
It was.
But you have to put this right up there.
Skip, yep.
They didn't get in the end zone.
Didn't Patrick score a touchdown.
Mike, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, they had it. I don't mean to cut you off, Shay, but I just think it was the wrong game plan.
Yeah,
by Andy Reid.
And you
don't see that too often. Yeah, you couldn't run it because you had so many offensive linemen out. You couldn't pass protect because, you know, the continuity on the offensive line, it was just gone. And look, I heard Skip say it earlier, you know, football guys got to be on your side and injury guys got to be on your side throughout the course of a season. And they lost that battle.
Okay, my turn. I've been trying to warn both of you guys about this team and this quarterback for several weeks on this show. There's just something about Brady in these biggest moments that he can lead a team by example and just by his mere presence to play at levels that are even over their heads. And that's what I saw last night. I saw a team that Brady's mere presence and leadership had been brought to a boil right on schedule. They were hotter, they're nastier on defense, they're more physical, and they were playing with more precision on offense than Kansas City has been playing with for about, what's it been, 10, 12 weeks? Mm-hmm. Kansas City was on borrowed time. Kansas City was on its 10th or 11th or maybe 12th life this year because they just kept walking that tightrope, and Shannon kept saying, well, did they win? Yep. They won, but they didn't win convincingly. They didn't win in any spectacular fashion that they're capable of winning. While the Bucs had gone on the road against the number two defense in Washington, the number four defense in New Orleans, and the number nine defense at Lambeau, and they kept scoring 30-plus points. And so I wasn't shocked they put up 30. But I thought this defense could do a number on Mahomes if they could get to him, which they did right from the start with four. And as young as the secondary is, and it's a bunch of 22 and 23-year-olds, they just sat back and said, you will not get behind us. And I thought they reduced Patrick Mahomes to looking, as Shannon said, pedestrian. And this is my one issue. This is the flip side of Tom Brady is Patrick Mahomes. I know he's more fun to watch, but he gets away with, as Michael Vick will attest, to near murder at quarterback because he's throwing balls. He threw balls all night long last night that nobody would teach, nobody would coach, and he has such arm talent and such confidence in his arm that he almost gets away with them. He almost got picked off about five other times than he did get picked off twice. So I don't love that style of quarterback because it's too risky. And again, you can play that way when you're young because it's that blissful ignorance where nothing ever goes wrong. I'm going to be real interested to see how he bounces back from this one because this was the worst beating he said he's taken since high school.
Yeah.
Okay? So now... When you know how it is when you're a young player and nothing goes wrong. Michael knows how it felt in Atlanta for a while. And then all of a sudden you have one of those games where you say, huh? Wait a second. That happened to me? Yeah, that happened to you last night. And maybe in the back of your mind you're saying, I don't know if I can throw this sidearm. I don't know if I can throw this no look because you lose some faith because you realize they kicked your butt on both sides of the ball.
Skip, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he'll lose any faith. I think he believes that if I'd have had my offensive line, this game would have been totally different. If I have Eric Fisher at left tackle, if I have Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, if I have the guy that opted out, the doctor that opted out for COVID in Canada, if I have my guys, I like my chances to win this ball game. But because I didn't, I don't think he changes anything, nor do I think he should. Skip, he had to make those plays. A lot of that sidearm stuff, a lot of the things that he was doing yesterday was out of necessity. And when the offensive line, I mean, when you take you're in the shotgun, and by the time you hit your third foot back, your third step backpedaling, and you got to dodge Shaq Barrett, or you got to dodge Dominican Sue, and you got to start retreating 20, 30 yards, it makes it very difficult for you to play the quarterback position, Mike.
Yeah, these are definitely uncharted waters for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They haven't been through this type of turmoil or got beaten like this probably since he's taken over for Alex Smith. But you know, I look back at you know, just the sequence of games in the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, the Kansas City Chiefs had 2 bye weeks, if you think about it, with the Super Bowl and then the bye week coming into the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think that bodes so well for them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, they won the last 3. They finished hot, you know, and then they went into the playoffs, and then Breeze, you know, they took out Breeze, Mahomes, and you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, in a 4-week stretch. So, you know, the team stayed hot. You know, they understood and knew exactly what it took to win these football games, and they knew how to win. They learned how to win together. They gelled. And I think it was because of that stretch at the end of the season, they was able to go into the postseason and wreak havoc. And the Kansas City Chiefs was just the last and final team to get that beat down, and it was evident to the world last night.
Skip, they had 3 bye weeks. Remember, they took the last week off of the season.
They did.
Mahomes didn't play. True. Kelce didn't play. Tyreek didn't play.
Okay.
Then they had the bye week, and then they had another bye week.
Okay. Now, back to Brady. I know the theme of the day is let's not give Brady too much credit. Let's give it to Leftwich. Let's give it to Todd Bowles. Let's give it to Devin White. I'm good with that because Brady doesn't need any credit. But I'm going to give him a little more than you guys have, because the thing about Brady is he has no Super Bowl ego. He doesn't need to throw for a playoff record 505 yards because that lost him a game. He doesn't need to throw a party to show you that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. He just needs to win the game and win it convincingly. So what did he do last night? Well, they come out and they try to take away Mike Evans and they try to take away Chris Godwin. And he says, well, I got this old guy named Gronk who used to be called the GOAT. I'll just feed Gronk. I'll feed the beast and show you the beast can still beast on anybody. And I'll throw some to AB, and I'm going to throw some to my new friend, little Lenny, who's not so little, as in Leonard Fournette. And I will hurt you with those 3 if you take away my 2. As I told Shannon earlier, Michael, If you told me Mike Evans wound up with 1 catch for 31 yards and that Chris Godwin had 2 catches for 9 yards, I'd say, uh-oh. No, because he will take whatever you will give him and he will pick you to pieces. And he didn't turn the ball over, and he made some nice throws to Gronk when they were utterly needed.
Right.
Everything that he did was right on time. So, again, his QBR was much higher than Mahomes because he played a much cleaner game than Patrick.
Well, I thought the thing, Skip, was they were able to do because they were able to run the football so effectively, and now the play action. Tom Brady had more play action than any other time, I think, in the last 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
So he's tremendous at play action.
Yep.
So now...
He, by the way, 10 of 13 for 135 and 3 touchdowns, all play action. All play action.
Exactly.
Which didn't exist in the offense until they're late in the season by week 13.
So when you
just say this.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, and then I'm gonna cap it off.
No, I'm just saying when you can do that, Skip, the play action is so what he's so good at is that you can go 21 or 29 for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, and not have the game like, oh man, did you see Brady? But the thing that Brady has learned to master is that you're right. I don't need 400 yards. If 200 yards gets the job done, what 200
matter.
Got the job done?
And by the way, he didn't get enough credit. He's the greatest play faker I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He fools me sometimes with his play fakes.
Got him.
Yep. Go ahead, Michael.
And it's why Tom's the GOAT. And we will never witness, and we have to be thankful to be able to watch Tom Brady in this era play for, you know, 2 teams, you know, 2 different conferences, win, you know, 7 Super Bowls. We'll never see this again. I don't think in our lifetime he's the greatest of all time. I don't think there'll ever be another quarterback, you know, mark my words, to win 8 Super Bowls, unless it's Brady. He's the only one that can do it. I don't think nobody ever get close. You know, I think that conversation is over. I think we can slam the door on it. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. And I think the next couple generations as they come, you know, they can chase it, but they'll never get there. But it's certainly a great opportunity to be able to chase a man like Tom Brady and all his accomplishments.
Well, you know what? In 40 years from now, somebody will diminish it, Skip, because it's like Bill Russell. We didn't see Bill win no championship. So they go, somebody go win like 4 or 5. Somebody go win like 4 or 5. Like, well, Tom, man, they weren't playing no football back then.
They didn't even have face masks back then.
But you're right. But I just think the thing is, what's going to make it so hard, Skip, Tom has been to 10, and he's won 7. Do you know how many you're going to probably have to get to? Because what he did is winning like 70%. Normally, you don't win 70% of the Super Bowl that you play his skill, especially once you get to a certain number.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to have to get to, like, level to 12 just to have an opportunity. Yeah. I don't know if somebody can get to level to 12.
Is when you actually sit down and think about it, you're right, Mike, greatest of all time. We're witnessing history in the making, and it has been a pleasure to watch. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes not going to be happy about that loss yesterday. Was last night one of Patrick Mahomes' worst career games. Mike, we appreciate your time, and we'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
This. The Cowboys released a hype video on social media looking ahead to the 2021 season. It was quickly pointed out that Dak Prescott, who has yet to sign a long-term deal, was not included at any point during the 32-second clip. Social media also went into a frenzy when Dak followed, then unfollowed, the Washington football team on Instagram. Who notices this stuff? Shannon, are these big deals or not big deals?
He's starting it off early 2021.
Uh-oh.
You know, 2021 starting off like 2020 for you, Skip Bayless.
Yeah, yeah.
Skip, Cowboy, you need to be ashamed of yourself.
Mm.
Skip, let me ask you a question. How you going to do an Undisputed promo, just Skip, no Shannon?
Look at that. Did we try that?
Hey, Skip, that was just a little oversight.
Yeah, it's oversight. Yeah.
Skip, you know how much time teams put into videos like this. This is not something that you just willy-nilly throw up.
Nope.
A lot of... Skip, the quarterback, okay, if it's an offensive lineman, so be it. How the Rams gonna release a hype video with no Aaron Donald, no Jalen Ramsey? Huh? You take any team, the quarterback's gonna be in it, Skip, just by the nature of the position.
I agree.
Ain't even gotta be good. He gonna be in a hype video.
Yep.
If
mm-hmm.
you're talking about for the 2021 season, he gonna be back. Now, he ain't gonna be back, he probably gonna be in it.
Yep.
Cowboy, you'd have just come out better, not even releasing the video, or just putting Dak in the video, and when, if he doesn't sign, just take him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's buying this, Skip. This is not no just an oversight. You don't oversight your quarterback. You don't oversight arguably your best player on the team when you're releasing a hype video to try to, because obviously this is for the season ticket holders and things of that nature, want people to buy a package of your tickets. Mm-hmm. That's not how it happens, Skip Bayless. Boy, y'all in for trouble, Skip. Mm-hmm. You know what, Skip, you know what? I want to gloat, but I can't, because I know as happy as you are about winning Super Bowl, you know where this is headed.
Yep.
You're headed down the same road in 2021.
Same
road. Traveling down in 2020.
Yep. Back to Jenny's question. This is a huge deal. It's a big, bad, ugly mess
it
of
is.
A deal. That's what it is. It's bad blood now on both sides. It's what I've thought for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a sad end to it.
It is.
A sorry end to it. Because, to your point, a hype video, it even had a quick shot of some, like, third-string fullback I'd never heard of. Working out. What? And then one of the executives tweeted, it was just an oversight, trust me. Now, I don't trust you.
No,
sorry.
I don't, sorry.
Maybe if Jerry had, on his radio gig, had said, look, we just screwed up, maybe I'd almost believe that, but just almost. And now let's look at the other side of this. Dak Prescott, for a fact, followed and unfollowed your historical arch rival within the NFC East, yeah, the Washington Now football team,
yeah,
who used to be that nickname,
right,
that I grew up with.
Right.
And it was the game twice a year,
right,
every year.
Right.
The game.
Mm-hmm.
It was the one everybody circled twice on the schedule, mm-hmm, home and away. Well, you don't do that unless you're trying to send a message to Jerry Jones. Well, you dare me, maybe I'll go there. They
right
need a quarterback.
Right.
Okay.
He already went with your rival. Your beer, you with Coors, he with Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, and what really just burns me about this is, you know that Jerry feels empowered now,
yes,
because of what just happened to Jared Goff and what is happening to Carson Wentz.
Correct.
Because one just got traded, and the other one, it sounds like, is imminent to be traded.
Yeah.
He is on the block, on the edge of the block. He's mm-hmm about to fall off the trade block,
right,
into another team's locker room.
Yes.
And it's pretty shocking on both counts, because those two teams did give in and give those guys money quickly.
Right.
When their windows opened, they both got their money.
Right.
So both teams are facing huge amounts of dead cap money.
Mm-hmm.
And yet both blew up in their faces for different reasons. We arms folded right now saying, I told you so. You can't overreact to these things. And what have I said about Dak Prescott from the start? I am his biggest fan, but I will tell you this. I am a bigger fan of the Dallas Cowboys than I am of Dak Prescott. So I want the right thing to happen in the right way for the right amount of money. And I keep telling you, it's what have you done for me kind of lately, because over his last 17 starts, Dak Prescott is 6-11. That's not all his fault. That has something to do with the bad defense and beat up offensive line,
mm-hmm,
but still 6-11, and we've been through it. You, down the stretch last year, in the last 13 games, you gave him 7 Fs for his performance. Okay, I got it. Jerry got it, but remember, it got reported by Charles Robinson of Yahoo that after the first 3 games, remember, Jerry said publicly after the opening game, we're going back a year mm-hmm ago, we are imminent to have a deal done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means they agreed verbally on the money.
Right.
They got across the T's and dot the I's. And then, again, to Charles Robinson, he said after those first 3, and you said there was garbage opponents,
yeah,
and they were bad teams, Dak put up huge numbers, and yet the number that he was asking for suddenly got huger. And once you do that to Jerry Jones, jerk that rug out from under him in any kind of a negotiation, you got problems, because he doesn't get mad, he's going to get even.
Well, Skip, Dak is in a great position, because he knows there are a lot of teams out there that's looking for a quarterback.
Okay, I'm sure
he
there
says,
are.
Okay, Jerry can just solve this problem. He can just let him walk and go into the market and get you another quarterback. Let that one walk, give up first round draft picks, go get you a quarterback, and let somebody else pay him.
Well, I'm starting to think maybe he's on the trading block and we don't know it
he
yet.
He can't, he's a free agent. You can't trade him.
Well, can you do it before the
he has
tag?
To sign, you,
I mean,
you, he would have to sign. He would have to sign the franchise tag.
He would have to
tag.
Sign the tag. Okay,
right.
So the window opens on, let me get this
third
right,
day of the new year.
Okay, it's February 23rd, and then you have until March the 9th
mm-hmm
to re-tag him,
right,
which would be the $38 million tag. But
right,
to your point, he would have to accept the
correct
tag.
Right.
Okay. Well, maybe if there was some deal worked out, maybe that he knew about, maybe
right
he would accept
right
it. Okay, I'm going to go there for this.
Right.
But obviously, I don't do it.
You know why? He said, why would I accept the trade to help y'all so y'all can get draft picks? No,
maybe not.
Just release me.
Okay.
Because clearly you don't think I can play. So how about
this? Well, obviously it's impossible to release Dak Prescott because your option is Andy Dalton.
Why do you care?
Mm.
He can't play. You don't believe in him.
Mm.
So it does not matter whether you have a replacement. You don't believe in him. Skip, don't worry about what I do if I'm going to go find somebody else.
Mm.
You don't want me, so why do you care if I find somebody else?
No, they want him, but not at Mahomes or Deshaun money.
Skip, I told you. He was not the days of the 30, the 40 million dollar. It's 40 now. It's 40.
Okay. Does he deserve 40 million? Is he worth 40 million? You would say a big fat no.
Fat yes.
Yeah. Well, you would because say you, want Skip, my cap wrecked.
No, no, Skip. Here's the thing, Skip.
You want to happen to me what happened to the Eagles and the Rams.
You had an opportunity, Skip. You cannot. Skip. You got to realize Dak was a what? Third round pick.
Fourth
round pick. He didn't get the $30-plus million guarantee that Goff. He didn't get the $28 million guarantee that Carson Wentz.
No.
And
they Skip, were top, that's first pick in the draft first and the second pick. First the pick. Draft.
So, Skip, here's the thing. They had 2 years left on their deal.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. As soon as the window opened, their team said, yes.
And Jerry said, Dak, I'm going to have you play this thing out. Yep. Now you make me play it out. Now you want me to give you a discount. Huh? Under what pretense do you think that's acceptable for me?
I believe Jerry offered him what he thought he was worth. And again, there is the hometown, home team, America's team discount because Dak has a bunch of national TV commercials, including the one for, what is it, Sleep Number that's like every other commercial.
Yeah, I like that. I need to get me one of them. Skip, hold on.
I got me one of them.
What Jerry think is fair and what Dak think is fair because I'm providing the service. See, what I'm worth is not based on what you can pay. Mm. So, look at this is my Savannah State little this. I might think this thing worth $500,000-$600,000. Somebody say, man, that ain't nothing but old $20 mask. Mm. Well, to you, Dak said
$20 mask.
Yeah, that would they might say.
Like I think a $4 mask.
No, don't do that, Skip. Don't try to sell my school short. But anyway, Skip, Jerry Jones, Skip, you can't say. After they've given these other guys big long-term deal, we want you to give us a discount. I would have given you a discount, Skip, had you come to me earlier.
Okay, but here's the downside to everything you're suggesting. What if they give him 40-plus million for what's he want? 4 years. He wants four versus
four
five.
4 years, 160.
Okay, so what if that's a done deal?
Okay.
And then we go into next year, and all of a sudden, Dak keeps playing like he did 2 years ago, and Shannon keeps coming in here every Monday saying, F.
What if he, hold on.
And Jerry's up there, and I'm sitting here saying, he can't live up to 40 million.
What if he does what Jerry Goff did in 2018, take your team to the Super Bowl? What if he does what Wentz was doing, taking your team to the Super Bowl? Will it be worth it? You said if Jerry got to the Super Bowl, you said it'd be worth it.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
You're going to guarantee that?
Hey, you know, you got main man Mike McCarthy. He should guarantee
you've
that.
You've never liked Dak Prescott.
I do like Dak.
No, you do not.
I do like Dak.
You've been down on him for 4 years.
No. I've not been down on him.
He's dinking Dak.
He was. Yep. But I'm just not going to let you hype him up and put him in Mahomes and Deshaun and all those other categories.
That's the point. Yeah. And I agree. I still love him. I hate that this is happening. And I think the bad blood is on both sides because they're both taking pot shots at each other.
But, Skip, here's the thing. You can't ask a guy to play his contract to the complete end and expect him to give you a discount that the other guys gave their team with 2 years remaining on their deal. Mm. They gave them long-term security when they didn't have to. Now you're not giving me long-term security. You try to make me base the sign of 1 year. No. Okay. You don't get the terms you want and the money you want.
You got me one way, and that is Jerry didn't head this off at the pass a year earlier.
Thank you.
Where he would say, hey, whatever that deal on the table was that you said was fair.
Yes, a year earlier is done deal.
36,
yes,
whatever
it's a done
it was.
Deal, Skip.
Yeah, okay. Then we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we would not have.
And he might still be thinking, gee, I'm underpaid considering what the market exploded into.
Oh, too bad. You decided now. I got you now.
But still, I don't know how much he makes off the field, but he's got a bunch of commercials. I think by last count, last year he had a dozen national commercials.
Guess what, Skip? I don't worry about what all your endorsements. I don't worry about what Pepsi and what Coors Light and AT&T and all this. Why you count my pockets?
Okay.
Why you pocket watching over there?
But if you're Buffalo's quarterback, are you going to get those deals?
How much you think Josh Allen's about to get?
I don't know. You're going to get national TV commercials? I don't see one.
How much you want to bet Josh Allen get 40-plus?
Okay, well, that's fine. But you're just talking about salary. I'm talking about national TV endorsement commercials. Oh, okay. Well, but you do
I got to supplement my income, Skip.
Yeah, he won't undo his.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
You're just rooting against my salary cap to be wrecked by all this. Skip. And it's heading toward disaster because it's either going to be wrecked by Dak Prescott or not going to have a quarterback.
I feel very comfortable. As long as Jones is in charge of the Cowboys, I feel very comfortable sitting over here that you're not going to go very far.
Well, that's going to happen the rest of our lives. how long they are.
Well, I feel very comfortable. Yeah. So,
because if it's not Steven, it's going to be Jerry Jr. If it's not Jerry Jr., it's going to be Charlotte. Yep.
And then maybe the grandkid.
Kid who was the star quarterback at Highland Park High School. He's at Arkansas now.
Right.
So Steven's son.
But Skip, this is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
You got a hype video and the quarterback ain't in it.
God, this is getting petty.
Noticed that video and thought, what am I missing here?
Yeah,
I would take offense to that. Jeez.
Yes.
And if you guys do commercials without me anymore, I will continue to be upset about that. So, just so you guys know,
exactly.
No mercy.
I don't know about you guys, I couldn't get enough of this yesterday. Tom Brady clearly isn't afraid to have a good time celebrating his 7th Super Bowl win. And during the Buccaneers boat parade, Brady got confident enough to toss the Lombardi Trophy from his boat across to another that had Rob Gronkowski and Cameron Brate on it. Thankfully, the trophy was caught by Brate, who called it the best catch of his life. Several other posts showed Brady partying, letting loose all day, even getting just a little help walking at one point. Shannon, what did you think of Brady's day?
Clearly, he let his hair down on that one, Skip. And I'm surprised that he let himself go like this in public. Now, behind the scenes, Skip, if you know, they have the ring celebration or, you know, with teammates or things like that.
Yep.
But I'm a little surprised that he let himself get out there like this in the public.
Yep.
Now, he showed up with the big flex.
Yep.
He pulled up in a $2.5 million boat, had a police escort. I said, okay, that's how you make an entrance.
Yep.
That's how you let them know I'm Tom Mofo Brady, and yeah, this is how I do it.
Yep.
So he pulled up. I was like, okay, look at Tom. The police escort skipped the yacht, which is very fitting. Tampa, Miami, it's very fitting that you have a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised that Tom let his hair down to this extent. Mm-hmm. Publicly. Now, I was hoping when he threw the trophy, Skip, it went into the water because I wanted to see who was going in after. That's what I wanted to see. Skip, I really, my money's on Gronk. I'm laying plus $2,500 on Gronk to go get that water, go get that trophy out the water.
It's a heavy trophy.
I think Gronk can go do it. I think Gronk going to get that trophy.
I'm assuming the Hillsborough River is pretty deep at that point.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not sure Gronk's going to go to the bottom of the river, into the murky bottom of the river, looking for that without scuba gear.
My money's on Gronk. Gronk will hit the water and go come back up with that trophy.
I can't believe it. Mm.
So for me, Skip, yes, I'm not surprised that Tom is extremely happy, Skip. You know what he did? He left an organization that didn't believe in him anymore.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he won a championship without the umbrella of the Patriot way, without Coach Belichick.
Yeah.
So he's feeling really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people thought he was going to feel this good. Hey, golly gee whiz, Tom. Yeah, guys, you know what? Hey, had a great time in New England. I still have a lot of friends there. I'm very fond of the people in New England.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying all those things. But deep down inside, we know human nature tells us when someone bets against us and we bet on ourselves and we win, we feel really good, even though we might not verbalize that publicly.
Yeah.
Well, his celebration lets me know, Skip, he didn't feel good. He feels great.
Right.
And so the only thing that I'm surprised, I'm glad. I'm glad because I'm glad that Tom showed that side of him instead of always being buttoned up and always being guarded. But I am surprised that he let himself get to this extent publicly.
Mm. Okay. What I'm about to say about the Lombardi toss is serious, straight from the heart. That was the greatest clutch throw of Tom Brady's career. And I spoke all week long, a week ago, about how Tom's just the clutchest performer in the history of sports because he's done it so many times on so many big Super Bowl stages. Obviously, he had 6 game-winning drives in fourth quarter and overtime to win 6 rings going into Sunday. And then they didn't even need a fourth quarter drive because it was a second quarter drive that won the game in the beatdown of Kansas City.
Well, Skip, not to cut you off, but I'm glad they didn't throw it back to Tom because I don't know if he was going to catch it like they caught it.
No, that's a fact. So the point about Tom's clutchness has always been to me, and I wrote about this for FoxSports.com, is that he's long-term clutch. He's long drive clutch, but he didn't have any signature moment.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any walk-off clutch throws
where
you say, boy, I remember that one.
Right.
I can't remember a single throw of Tom's career where I say, God, remember when he did that? Maybe I'll remember the Scotty Miller throw into half at Green Bay. But still, it was to little Scotty Miller. Mm-hmm. It's like the lone ball that you throw to Scotty Miller.
But like you said, it's at the end of the half. Yeah. Now, that was at the end of the to win the game. Now, that's a walk-off.
That's a walk-off. For me, this was the equivalent of a walk-off. And I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating. That is a throw. That was hard to do. Now, again, was it alcohol-fueled? Probably. Did he have a little more confidence and courage because he'd had a couple too many to drink? Maybe. Yeah. But it's such a long throw from boat to boat. And you've lifted that trophy, right?
It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
And for him to sort of weigh this moment and say, I think I can do this. It's a long throw.
Yeah.
He's not the strongest guy. He's not a weight room warrior. You know, he's more pliability,
right?
And so, and he's got a little above average arm, but he's never had a cannon. And this is more of a body throw. This is a core throw, right?
Yeah. Yes.
This is where you have to twist into, it's like hitting a golf ball where you got to hit it with your core. You got to twist into the tee shot. And for him to twist into this and get enough on the trophy to get it airborne and keep it airborne from boat to boat, it had high probability of winding up in the bottom of the river. Because it's one thing to throw it that far. It's yet another thing to get it deep enough into the other boat that they don't drop it in the river. Because if you just get it to the edge, they're going to fumble it into the river.
That trophy probably weighs about 7-8 pounds, I'm thinking.
Okay, I'm going to guess more than that.
Yeah, well, it's heavy, Skip, and the edge is kind of sharp on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, anything with a bottom,
it's hard to catch.
So I'm surprised. Look, if Gronk had thrown his skip, it would not have surprised me if Gronk would have done anything. If Gronk would have just tucked it and threw it in the water, I wouldn't have been surprised, considering he used it as a bat.
I got it.
At Fenway. But Brady to do that.
Okay, and he gets it up high enough and deep enough that it's like a Hail Mary, like the one he threw to Gronk that Gronk couldn't come down with in the second Philly Super Bowl. And Cameron Brate rises above the crowd to snag it.
Yeah.
And Cameron Brate said he was scared to death, like he's afraid he was going to drop it. Like it was, for him, it was the clutchest catch he's ever made.
Glad he caught it, because he probably would have had a busted up face or a couple of teeth missing.
Yeah.
Because that thing hit you, Skip, it's going
to
hurt.
Okay. Now, to the second half of this, we obviously saw him, the whole video of him stumbling home. Okay. I scanned the Drunk Brady Twitter thread that was all day long, all afternoon long. It sounds like Jenny was all over it also.
Yeah.
And but look away.
It was the first time ever that I saw comment after comment after comment from Brady haters saying, I can't help but love this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the most endearing moment of this guy's, what are we up to, 20-year career as a starter, 21 years as a player.
Yeah.
Because most people can't stand him because he's just too boringly good. He just keeps on keeping on, but he's not Mahomes. There's no no-looks, there's no behind-the-backs, there's no left-handed pass.
You know why they love this, Skip?
Yeah.
Because for the first time, he made himself human.
He made himself incredibly vulnerable and human and relatable. Tom Brady was actually relatable yesterday.
Everybody said the exact same thing, but if I wasn't that bad, I'd get towed up.
Okay, well, he was. And he needs assistance on both sides to get to the car.
To stand up.
Right? to get free. And to your point, I believe it was the happiest football day of his life.
I believe so,
I mean,
too.
Obviously, Sunday night was a big deal.
Right.
But this is where you've had time to let it sink in.
Right.
You've sort of slept for a while so that you're back to
he ain't
normal.
Yeah.
Well,
he ain't
I don't know.
Yet.
Well, he had to sleep one of the nights, maybe last
night. No. Yeah,
before.
Well, he slept last night. He brought a hungover this morning.
Okay.
But he ain't sleep Sunday night, Skip.
Not Sunday night, but maybe Monday or Tuesday. But my point is, now it's sunk in.
Right.
Now he sits back and says, God, look what I just did.
Right.
I stuck it to that guy who stuck it to me in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge for him because he pulled this thing off with a bunch of guys that he really likes.
Yes.
He really had fun playing football. He has fun playing for that coach, even though that coach was ridiculously hard on him in post-game comments. I think they made peace with that in their bye week, and then I didn't hear any more of that. And all they did after their bye week was win 8 straight games. They went 8-0 out of the bye, okay? And he He pulled off something with a 7-9 team in a pandemic with no preseason. That's what he's. That's why the depth of achievement, it just got to him yesterday, and he finally let go.
I think the person that we saw yesterday, that Tom is more like the person we saw yesterday than he is after he won the six in New England. Now, I'm not saying he's all the way that, but I'm saying he's closer to that. Mm-hmm. And when B.A., when people say he's more of himself, he seems more happy, means allows guys to have show their personality. Coach Belichick, everybody is one and the same, with the exception of Gronk. Gronk was really allowed to show his personality, Skip, but the other guys that's come through there, they say the same thing, yeah, this, and this. I believe, and I agree with you, I believe Tom, all of them special.
Sure.
But I think this one. The significance of it.
Yep.
It's not the Patriot way. Mm. It's not Coach Belichick. It's not, he's a systems guy. I am the system.
Mm-hmm.
You can have any systems you want, but you better have somebody that can program it. You better have somebody that can understand it and can code it.
Yep.
That's him.
Yep. So in the previous six celebrations, the parade celebrations in Boston, Brady wasn't front and center.
He just waves,
there's nothing going on, nothing to say. He's not throwing Lombardi trophies from duck boat to duck boat in downtown
Boston. And that's what happens, Kimberly. See, there's a difference when it's 80 and sunny and you're on the water as opposed to 20 and snow on the ground in Boston.
Very good point, which he's well aware
of. Yes.
He and his family, according to all the reports, they love it there.
And they say, I ain't never going back.
I mean, here we are in February, and they're all out there in shorts and T-shirts. Right. That's pretty cool.
I'll go back when they put me in the Ring of Honor, they retire my jersey, and they put me stuff like that, to the reunions. He's going to be going to a reunion every year because they're about to have, skip where they start having the 5 and 10 and 15, 20-year reunion.
Yep.
Tom is going to be going to a reunion like, damn, I just saw you guys last year.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to see you again.
So the shock to me was, Tom Brady won Super Bowl MVP, and then he won Parade Day MVP.
Yeah.
He won.
The upstage Gronk
it
in
does.
A celebration.
It does.
But he upstage Gronk.
Or even, as we're about to discuss, Bruce Arians with a microphone in his hand. It's hard to upstage him.
And Bruce had a few with him, too.
I think he often does.
Everyone was feeling it, feeling good, feeling confident. And you know what? Good for Tom. And you guys said it best. He was relatable yesterday, and it was almost refreshing to see in a lot of ways. And that's hard to do after a fun day. Guys, obviously his teammates, though, were enjoying themselves because the Super Bowl win has given the Buccaneers all the confidence in the world during their victory parade. Devin White, JPP, Shaq Barrett, and what seemed like every other member of the team took the mic to say that they're going to repeat as champions. Even the guys at top couldn't help themselves, with GM Jason Light saying, quote, we're going to bleep and win this thing again. And then Bruce Arians also didn't hold back. Take a listen.
Anybody that says running back, all right, that's Tennessee. We're going for two. We're going to keep this band together, and they know how to win.
Shannon, you have a problem with any of this?
I don't have a problem with it, Skip, no. That's what you said, these things. Skip, I've never heard anybody say, we good with one. We ain't trying to get back here. Everybody says that we're going to repeat because they know ultimately that's how you're judged. There have been a lot of teams that's won one in a row.
Yep.
Mike Shanahan told us the very first time we won, we came in there for that first meeting. He said, if you want to be special, you got to repeat.
Well, sure. Okay.
So.
All right. But he said that to you. He didn't say it to us.
No. We didn't do it. And Skip, if you think about it, you never saw any of that in New England.
Yep.
They won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and they didn't say nothing about no next year.
Nothing.
So I that's the difference when the expectations, because they got this, there were some expectations, but I don't think anybody expected them to reach the pinnacle so soon.
Yep.
And so everybody's feeling good. Oh, we bringing everybody back. Skip it. I thought the exact same thing. Man, I'm looking around like, man, if we get Zim to come back, we get this one to come back, you're a free agent. He go, it's never going to be the same.
Mm.
Unfortunately for them, all the coaching vacancies look like they're filled, so they're not going to lose Byron Leftwich, or they're not going to lose a Todd Bowles. They're not going to lose anybody off their staff. So the staff is going to come back intact.
Good point.
But they do have some free agencies. They have Shaq Barrett. Somebody's going to throw $100 million at Shaq Barrett. It's going to be hard to walk away considering, Skip, I was an undrafted free agent. And for the first four or five years of my career, I didn't even make $1 million a year. Now, he may got a big payday last year, that franchise tag. But somebody's going to give him an opportunity to have generational wealth. I don't know if he turns that down. I don't believe he does. Chris Godwin, somebody's going to throw a boatload of money at him because he was a number two, and a lot of teams are going to believe that he could be a number one. So they're going to pay him number one money, somewhere averaging probably around $15 to $17 million a year.
Yeah.
I don't know if he turns that down. Mm. But the greatest equalizer, one of the greatest things that will come into play why you don't repeat is what happened to Kansas City. Mm. You lose four left offensive starters. Skip, remember, early in the season, Osimile was lost, and he was playing outstanding.
Good player.
So you lose Osimile, you lose Fisher, you lose Schwartz, you lose one of your guards before the season because he opts out to do COVID in his native Canada. So basically, you're down four starting offensive linemen.
Okay. It happens.
Injuries.
Yep.
And that's the thing that you're going to have to guard against. You're going to lose some of your free agents, but injuries is the number one reason why I believe, Skip. Yeah, obviously you have some complacency, but I believe injury is the number one key to why teams don't repeat.
All right. My turn. You have won three Super Bowls in three tries, so you do know what of you speak. I've covered many, many Super Bowl winners, and I've been sort of inside the reaction to Super Bowls. In all my years covering the National Football League, I have never, ever witnessed, this time from a distance, a more outrageously outspoken guarantee of a reaction as these guys gave us yesterday. They were guaranteeing they're going to come back and win a second one. I'm sorry, it just took me aback for a while because it went all the way up to the general manager just saying, we're going to effing win this thing again. That's a strong statement from an executive.
Yeah.
You just don't get them. Mm-hmm. And remember, I was around those 90s Cowboy dynasty teams led by Michael Irvin, who can get as full of himself as anybody who ever played the game of football. I never got any of this.
No.
They broke through a year early because of the Charles Haley trade, so they had the catalyst that got them over the hump past the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Big upset at Candlestick to get them to a Buffalo team that was overmatched against them in the Super Bowl, and it was a wipeout. I got none of this.
Right.
I think they were just kind of shocked by, we did this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jimmy kept telling you're good enough to do this. Okay. But nobody said, We're going to do this again next year. But they did do it again next year. And then they didn't say boo about doing it a third year. No one had ever won three in a row. But nobody talked like this. I've never heard anything like this. And then we even get to the head coach. Obviously, he'd had a couple. And he's obviously outspoken to start with. But for him just to go off on the Chiefs with the microphone in his hand, he says, anybody that says run it back, which is what the Chiefs kept saying is their second time around, he said, you know what? But he said, BS. That was Kansas City's BS. We're just going for two. And he acted like it's just a done deal. We're going to do it. We're a band of brothers. We're all coming back. Well, money talks as opposed to the coach speaking.
Exactly.
But that's what he said. And then of the Chiefs, he said, we physically kicked their ass. Well, they did.
Yeah.
That was a nasty butt kicking to me because that defense, once it gets cranked, thanks to Todd
Bowles. Well, they beat their offense up, too. Bucks offense beat Kansas City's defense up.
Leonard Fournette just beasted them.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. The offensive line just stood them up and stood them off. Okay.
Yep.
So the point is, usually I'd be horrified by this kind of talk, but as I watched it yesterday unfold, it rang true to me. It's like they believe it with all their might. They believe they're coming back and win it again. Are they a little naive? Well, why do they believe it? Because they have the GOAT at quarterback who's playing better than ever going on 44. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking, we got that guy. Mm-hmm. He's a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. So that's why you're empowered. You get a little too full of yourself because you're speaking from a position of strength.
But Skip, because they've never been in there. Tom has been in there. Ugh. They don't know how hard it's going to be.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah.
Now you got the target and all that.
Everybody's Super Bowl.
Sure.
Everybody measures them by what they do against you.
Okay. But the reason I didn't have a problem with it was it didn't ring like false bravado. It didn't come off as fake tough guy talk. It sounded like a bunch of tough guys saying, we're just going to do this again.
Oh, Skip, you don't think when Kansas City had their parade, they didn't think they were going to run it back?
Well, I'm sure they did. It was different, though. The feeling was different. They just had kind of like this supreme confidence, like, we're just more gifted than you are. We got Tyreek. We obviously got Kelsey, and we got the best quarterback who ever threw the football.
I think the thing is, they didn't think they were going to go besieged with the injuries to the offensive line like they got.
Well, obviously, and that's the great leveler, and it can happen to this team.
Right.
But we have seen teams win two in a row. And
Skip, there's a reason why it hadn't been done in 16, 17 years now. Because
three. Two in a row.
Yes.
Well, three in a row is never.
It's never been done. Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, the 49ers won 88-89, and then they lost in the championship game by three to the Giants when Roger Craig fumbled and LT recovered. They kicked the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Skip, there's a reason teams don't repeat. It's hard.
Okay. But what did the quarterback say pre-Super Bowl? Tom Brady said last week, very matter-of-factly, we will be better next year. Mm-hmm. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about
the continuity and understanding of each other,
right?
Yes.
Because they had to just throw it together on the fly with no preseason.
Right.
They had to figure it out in week 13's bye week, came the latest of any team's bye week. They had to figure it out.
Right.
Oh, this works, but that doesn't work. And somehow they got on a miraculous late season roll and won their last eight games.
Right.
Well, he's saying, gee, give me a chance. And do you think Tom will work any less in this offseason than he worked? No, he'll be right out there just as driven as ever.
But, Skip, that's the thing. You had COVID and you had their best running back opting out. Mm-hmm. You had one of their better offensive linemen opting out. You had the offensive line getting besieged by injuries. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm talking about. See, you're talking
Kansas
about
City.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking to Tampa's talking about, okay, we're coming back and everything, we're not going to have any, because they really didn't lose anybody with significant injury for any length of time. Mm-hmm. I think Devin White, Skip, he missed a game. Maybe the first game of the playoffs with the COVID protocol. Well, yeah. He missed the last game. I think he came back for mm-hmm. COVID for protocols.
Yes.
But for the most part, Skip, they missed. I think they had a guard that was out for maybe 2 weeks.
No, well, Alex Kappa, no, he was lost.
Marpet was out for a game or two also.
Marpet was, but Kappa got hurt against Washington in the first playoff game, and he was gone for the rest of the year.
But when
they're playing with their backup left guard.
Right. So when you start, you know, your offensive line and you lose a tackle, you lose Tristan Wirfs, who graded the highest.
No, he did.
Dude graded up all those snaps. He gave up one snap the entire season.
All right. But as little Scotty Miller said yesterday, he thinks that they have the best group of receivers in the league. Well, again, you can go depth. He's talking about there are just too many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you the depth of them. I will not give you Tyreek and Kelsey because they're just better.
Right.
Those two are better than anybody Tampa has.
Right.
But if we just go 1 through 8,
that's
a lot of, again, they could lose Chris Godwin, which has got potential.
Yes.
And be okay because they signed AB.
Right.
And remember, Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson, who had big catches during the year, Scotty had no targets in the Super Bowl, and Tyler Johnson had one that zoomed right by his hands and he wasn't looking. That was the end of him.
Right.
Okay? You don't think they're going to be factors next year because they're young players.
Yeah, they might not have the choice but to be factors because you lose Chris Godwin. So now AB is going to move to the number two slot, and so now somebody has to be that third and fourth wide receiver.
Okay,
so they'll get more opportunities.
Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, who caught the Lombardi yesterday, and O.J. Howard, who tore his Achilles tendon.
Right.
I don't know what he'll be when he comes back. But potentially, he's the best of the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
What if you add him to the mix and he's 95% of what he used to be? You don't think they have depth at receiver? You don't think they can be just as overwhelming as they were this year?
Yes.
Right? And Ronald Jones is going to be there. I will bet you Fournette will be back.
Yeah.
My little guy, Keyshawn Vaughn from Vanderbilt, had his moments. He'll contribute next year. All of a sudden, that's a deep football team with a lot of young talent on it. So, you going to bet against them next year?
I think the only thing that you're not surprised at what they're saying. You're surprised that they said it publicly because everybody has this kind of confidence. The Cowboys had this kind of confidence behind the scenes. Normally, teams have this kind of confidence behind the scenes. They're not as – because, Skip, when we won in Baltimore, guess what happened the next year? Jamal Lewis, Terry.
I got it.
We're a totally different team.
I got it. But what if – you don't get really injured next year. Because the Cowboys in 93, they lost Emmitt to the contract holdout for two games.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they stayed, once they got Emmitt back, they stayed healthy all the way.
What happens if Emmitt stays out the whole season?
Well, they're they're done. they're not going to be able to pull that off.
That's not going to be the case there. But, Skip, I believe other teams will get better also. They'll get an understanding, okay, so this is what they are. They're not a just throw the ball deep now. They're more of a Patriots team, get the ball out of Tom's hands quick. So what we got to do, we got to take away his first read. Mm-hmm. We got to jam that first guy, that initial
guy. Yes, everybody will be gunning for them. Everybody will have a new blueprint as to how to slow or shut them down. I got that. But this team is putting it on the line. Devin White yesterday was just saying, we are going to win it next year. Mm-hmm. Well, that's called a guarantee. So they have guaranteed to the rest of the league, we're going to come and win.
But I'm going to be here. I'll be here for it.
Okay.
I'll be waiting right here.
You'll be waiting.
No mercy.